It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome into the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris with you. That is Danny Meringue to my left. Happy little Monday for everybody out there.
The show's official now because we have the banner now.
I know. I got to put the banner up.
We got to find some magnets.
I know. I asked how it got hung up there, and I think I got told, magnets, idiot. And yeah. I was like, well, do we have any of these? Like, I'm already water guy. Do I have to be magnet guy, too?
Yeah, we do need moss magnets, por favor.
Por favor.
Because that's the only way we can hang anything in here.
¿Cómo se dice magnet in English?
Is it magneto?
Magneto?
No, magneto.
Well, you would say, ¿Cómo se dice magnet in el español? Yeah. We already know how to say it in English.
Oh, good call. Ouch.
No, no.
Rip, roar, and start here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I'm Ben.
All right. Hi, friends. Let's start this bad boy over again.
God, I feel good.
Do you?
Oh, I got to work out for the first time in 2 weeks. Oh, sweet Jesus. It was great.
Oh.
They're like, yeah, we just don't want you to, like, pop a blood vessel in your nose or something like that. And it was 2 weeks off is the most stupid and humbling thing. It was like, don't go as heavy as you did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, don't be stupid.
And I just was like, put it down.
I feel great because I didn't work out again.
Me too, dude. I don't lift weights because they're heavy, and I don't work out because I get tired.
There we go.
I feel infinitely better. All the energy in the world. Let me tell you right now, ever since I had this freaking surgery, man, I've got this ring that tracks all of my sleep and all the data and everything that goes along with it. All of it is just like just peaking. It's like your blood oxygen level, your VO2, your sleep, your consistency of sleep, like everything is just higher now. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's amazing what breathing will do for you.
This is kind of piggybacks off what you're saying right now. I'm actually just really excited to get back into our routine.
Yeah, we have this routine till what? We have one day off basically in like the next 2 months.
What's that?
We have some holiday.
Oh, do we get President's Day off? That's the day after
MLK or there's President's
Day. It's one of them we get.
President's Day is the day after the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Which tells me we're probably not going to get that one off.
What?
Yeah, it's the day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's our biggest day of the year?
No.
It's up there.
We could
go no the top, way, dude.
We could go with the top five, I think it's fair to say.
I could maybe argue that this Friday's the biggest day.
Well, I mean, locally, but I mean, like, in radio, the day after Super Bowl, traditionally, like, the biggest.
It's probably a top five for us. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's not a chance that we have that day off.
We should, because I'm trying to party.
Now, maybe we make it up somewhere. Maybe we make it up somewhere.
We do have a short show on Friday.
We do.
We do have a short show on Friday. Only 2 hours.
I was surprised we had a show, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just kibosh it?
Well, I mean,
I support that.
I thought that, you know, they just do the pregame coverage, just like a longer pregame leading in.
Well, somebody's going
to
need to stall.
What, do you want us to pull out 4.5 hours for you?
It's the Peach Bowl.
Somebody's going to need to stall to get old dirt down to what is that? Washington Square? Gotta get him down to Washington Square to do the pregame. Him and Anthony Newman.
Yeah.
You think Newman's too busy to do this right now because the portal's open?
I mean,
there is a portal in high school, is there not?
Yeah, basically.
This is no shot at Q. I love Q.
No,
I know. But the thing is, his school is always on the good.
He's working all right.
They're not losing anybody.
No.
Oklahoma State has to convince people to come there. Oregon gets to choose who goes there. Indiana's the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord, not to get too sporty, but SIG is already off to a rousing start in the transfer portal.
Bro, we can get as sporty as you want. I've had a lot of fun over the last weekend, basically since that Alabama game on the first. Since the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the Indiana game.
I should be saying that.
You can refer to it as the Alabama game which they got their asses whooped.
The Alabama slaughter. What was the joke?
It's not an Alabama. Oh, I guess it is an Alabama slammer.
The most pissed off Alabama fans have been since the Emancipation Proclamation. Is that what I heard? That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's tough.
I was talking to a friend about ratings.
The follow up on that being, they'd be really mad if they could read.
Yeah, I think tomorrow we're going to get into what the College Football Playoff Committee wants, like from a media standpoint. And I was talking to some friends.
Oh, well, what they want is Oregon, Miami.
I think they want Indiana, Miami.
Okay.
But we'll get to that. But I was laughing with some friends. I was like, guaranteed they don't want Ole Miss in. And they were like, my friend goes, the ratings would be terrible because, like, your mom, your dad, your cousin, your extended family all live in the same house, and it's five people. Oof. It's not very high ratings. And I was just like, wow.
Five people, one TV.
Wow. Just from the top rope coming down on it. No, it's been a lot of fun talking to, like, you know, when you get to this time of year, the NFL is this way. I mean, we saw this hugely with baseball this postseason. The Dodgers Blue Jays was a World Series that captivated even non-baseball fans. Mm-hmm. And I think this playoff is doing something very similar to the sense where when I listen to people that don't really watch college football talk about Kurt Cignetti to me, it's hilarious. Nobody knows what to do with the guy. They're like, I think I don't like him. But there's a weird part of me that really does. Because it's kind of weird. He's got that, like, down, like, he keeps his chin down. It kind of looks a little bit like The Rock, but also a little bit like a serial killer.
Looks over his or under his eyebrows kind of a deal.
Yeah, and he kind of looks like this guy that you're like, I don't know, that guy scares me, or I'm rooting for him. As a theater kid for the longest time, if you ever played a villain, the reason they say that Darth Vader is the greatest villain in cinema history is because you rooted for him. You liked him. So as an actor, if you are trying to portray a villain correctly, if you just make them evil and hated, they're one-dimensional. You got to find some sort of way to bring the audience in to kind of not necessarily see where you're coming from, but even understand, like, you are a bad guy, but I kind of like you.
It's almost like the Colonel Jessup in A Few Good Men.
Exactly.
You want me on that wall.
Yeah.
You need me on that wall.
Exactly. It's kind of like that. And it helps in movies when you cast people like, you know, like Jack Nicholson to do it, or you get an iconic voice like James Earl Jones to do it. That's a benefit. And Sig is probably there, is he not? I mean, is Sig a villain? Aesthetically, yes. College football-wise, absolutely not.
Okay.
He's the story everybody's rooting for. But if you're a casual and you see him walking into the Rose Bowl with his quarter zip down, some Gucci sunglasses showing his chest with no chest hair, like chin down, like looking at you like I'm gonna beat that ass. Like,
yeah, he's the guy you see around the whole table of the quarter zips at Costco.
You assume that he, is a red ass that my kid doesn't want to play for.
And I'm not sure that we can quite call him a villain yet, because he is both the guy that you love to hate, but also the guy that you hate to love.
I don't know if I hate to love him, though.
I think some people do. They're like, it feels dirty. I feel like I need to take a shower after that.
Is that an Indiana thing, or is that a Siggy thing?
I mean, I love him. That's where I fall.
I mean, we're a little different. Like, I know, you know, we're a Portland sports leader here, and we got millions and millions of people listening out there right now. So we're all junkies, but let's not forget, we're only a small slice of the pie of civilization in America. I don't know where the common folk would stand. Because if you look at Dan Lanning, let's take this map. Oh, here we go. Let's get into Peach Bowl. If you take Dan Lanning, for example, you're like, oh, young guy, decently looking, full of energy. But then you see him after the Penn State game, you're like, this guy's on drugs.
So I was talking to somebody who was down at the Rose Bowl. That week while things were going on, Duck fan. And he goes, man, you would not believe. He goes, obviously people are in town, but he goes, just people in general, the amount of Indiana gear that was just everywhere.
Well, I told you I saw on the pregame of College Game Day, a lot of fresh 5950 yep. New Era IU hats.
They and we were talking about it, like Indiana does have a massive alumni pool.
Well, that's part of that old Big Ten.
It's the old Big Ten.
I mean, that old Midwest Big Ten.
The two biggest alumni pools in the country are Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, and they go elsewhere.
Yes.
They go coastal.
The diaspora of the old Big Ten.
I don't know that word, but I do know what it means now.
There you go.
Good context, Dan. I'm impressed.
But yeah, like there's a part of that, but also like you'd see IU stuff when it's around college basketball, but now you're seeing it around college football, which is, look, there's a little bit of the new money stuff. We were talking to Dirt about this before we hopped in. The whole idea of like, you know, the Ducks and they're the only ones who spend money. It's like, no, Indiana spent more money than basically everyone in college football. It's like them and Texas Tech.
Yeah, the only thing if you wanted to take a shot at that, and I think we got into this a little bit last week. The joke I made was it was the best team money can buy versus the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing the Ducks might do better in terms of money-wise is they spend probably more money on their facilities than anybody else. I mean, and that, but
well, that's what Indiana was dumping money into because they have great college basketball facilities, but the last 2 years they dumped a metric crap ton of money into their facilities.
With the old rules, you could do that,
yeah,
because they didn't care. Well, that's when Uncle Phil comes in.
Yeah, that's like if you're trying to bust them, that's like the RICO case kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, you can't. This is how we launder the money.
Exactly. Like, you can't. You might not be able to pay the players, wink, wink, but you can.
We can have a $3 million locker room.
Totally. Wazoo has no money to spend in NIL. Mm-hmm. They got a brand new locker room.
Yeah.
It looks kind of nice.
It does.
For a Pac State school, it looks kind of nice.
You know, Arizona did that a couple years ago, and it was it's actually kind of crazy how nice these locker rooms are now in college football. The Blazers are going to do a remodel with Moda in the next couple of years. You know, they haven't redone the locker room in 12, 15 years.
Well, you best believe when that new arena comes. You know, spare no expense on that locker room.
Well, that's the thing, is not to get too...
Because, I mean, pro players are the same as college kids.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because you're 18 and want flashy stuff. You don't think Kevin Durant is going to go to Houston if they got crappy facility? No way.
No, and that's the thing, is like the Blazers PF is, you know, they've done a ton there. They've got like a massive cafeteria and everything they've got in there, the weight room. They've redone the court twice over the last couple of years in there. Like, it looks really, really nice now. But the Blazers locker room is not great. But I'll tell you this. 10 times better than the visitors' locker room. That thing is a high school locker room. That's the thing, is you go around like any of the stadiums, NFL, NHL, NBA, all those things. The visitors' locker room is the equivalent of like a high school locker room. It's always so funny when you walk in there. It's always like, yeah, they really don't want you to be comfortable at all. You're just stuffed in here.
That'd be a very interesting like scientific experiment, psychological experiment. Like, is it better to have your visiting locker room, whether you're college football or NBA for these examples, would it be better to have a trash visitor's locker room to try to get in their head or
make it real nice?
Make it real nice, make them say, man, being in Portland's kind of cool.
Mm.
Oh, not necessarily make you better on the court, but for future investment. Mm. You know, like there's a free agent out there. Let's say Drew Holiday is a free agent and Portland says, ooh, Drew would be a great piece for us with Dame on the shelf, help mentor some young kids, and just high-level point guard play. Would he say, yeah, I remember playing there. That visitor locker room was nice.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Warriors spend more money on the road than anybody else.
In what sense? Like hotels?
No,
and food
not just. I mean, hotels, everybody stays at the same hotels. Okay. Like, everybody, like, that's how that works. But the food.
Mm.
It's always funny. When the Warriors come to town, their spread is always bigger, better, badder than everybody else's by a lot.
Is that the Dynasty or is that the San Francisco sneaking in?
That's a
great food city.
I mean, well, it's a little bit of both, but it's also Lacob just spends money like crazy. Like, no team has more leftovers than like the team attendance and the security staff and all those guys. They'll take leftovers home because otherwise they're throwing this away. And it's
sure.
I'm not kidding. Like, I've talked to somebody who one time they said they were, you know, moving stuff around and helping them get set up in there. They found the receipt one night. It was like $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Okay, 41 games, $10,000.
Do the math.
Like, so
I think that's $410,000.
And that's the thing, is
which actually isn't that much. You're spending less than a mil on food for a professional athlete.
But that's just your pre-post game spread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is like,
what's practice like?
There's the pre-game spread, and then there's the post-game spread.
Oh, I've seen, they post videos all the time on social media about like Liverpool when they're in their training facility, and they have like a full-on, probably top five cafe in the world of like barista and coffee and all
that
stuff.
That's the Blazers, they have a chef.
Yeah.
That's in there that's, you know, doing meal prep with these guys. And a lot of players also have like private chefs and stuff like that. But it's nuts.
I want one of those jobs.
Oh man, I know a couple of those guys. And like, they, you know, either they make a relationship with somebody or they're in the region. They're already kind of doing that for somebody else. But then it just kind of goes like, there's a couple guys. One that was here now works with the Pistons and the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went out there, and it's like you just kind of get into that world, and like that's what you do. I mean, you can make crazy good money doing it, but you get very specific, like especially with like high level guys, like the stuff that I don't think people truly realize like how far this stuff goes when you're talking about nutrition with elite level athletes. It's bonkers.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that if I'm getting the water, we're not getting a personal chef anytime soon.
Yeah, no.
That'd be great though.
I mean, you can swing it.
Oakley Doakley, well, we got a great show for you lined up today. Speaking of basketball, we'll get to the Blazers at noon. Hey, they finally said something about injuries, Danny.
Oh.
What everyone's been screaming about.
Oh, the update, the non-update update? Just mwah, chef's kiss.
So we'll get to that in the big nooner. Of course, a lot of NFL to get to today. We'll cut in a little college football in hour number deuce, but let's start in the NFL. Holy AFC North. The game we thought was the dumbest game of the weekend for the playoffs maybe turned out to be the
heart
best.
Attack.
We'll go to Pittsburgh to start this fantastic show on Portland Sports Leader, the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 10 a.m. AM. 10:19 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live, as we always are, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Shout out to the YouTube cats. As always, youtube.com/1051. The fan is where you can see all pretty faces. A lot to get to this hour. We've got a number one seed in the NFC.
Holy catfish!
And we'll take a peek at the NFL playoffs. We've decided to take this opportunity. We're going to go through all the teams playing this weekend in the NFL playoffs. And kind of give them their own little moment, and we'll talk about how they got here, the off-season acquisitions, whether it's coaching changes, philosophy changes, free agents, schedule, etc. Today, your teams to look at will be the Carolina Panthers and Rusty's Jacksonville Jaguars. So tune in throughout the week, as we kind of thought it'd be a better idea than just previewing games. Let's talk about teams and what makes them great. Because I think the NFL playoffs are going to be really, really fun and really, really wide open. And boy, we basically got a playoff game last night on Sunday Night Football. And you know a game is good when Mike Tirico goes borderline Gus Johnson on you. Tirico, I thought, Gus, if that's what you want to do, take a page out of Tirico. I thought he was just fantastically fun last night. His Syracuse teachers, if they're still alive, no offense, might be like, okay, buddy, tone it down. You're losing professionalism. I thought he was a ton of fun because the rest of us were having an absolute blast as the Steelers take down the Ravens 26-24.
Yeah. Who had that ending on their bingo card?
10-13 at the end of the third quarter.
And then pure and utter chaos.
And then former MVPs, future Hall of Famers said, not so fast, my friend.
Look, we talked about this, and like the idea of like why you bring Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. He still got, like, when we talk about, well, you know, if the Steelers make the playoffs, can they win a playoff game? Yeah, because they've got that guy, and he's still got some magic in his arm.
You know, I had questions about it. I had big questions about it. I always want to give Aaron the benefit of the doubt, despite Aaron being kind of exhausting sometimes off the field and sometimes on the field, too. I always wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I was concerned. I'll be one of the naysayers that was concerned he didn't have it in him. Now, he can't move. That's a fact, although he had a nice scramble that he saw wide open. But the brain is intact.
Oh, I mean,
it might be more salty. It might be more pissy, more entitled than it's ever been, but the brain still works.
He's, for me, he's one of the three best processors in the history of the game.
Well, I mean, he is the prototypical quarterback.
Yeah.
If I want a quarterback made, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The arm strength, the mobility, the back foot, the brain, the cross body, everything. He's got it all.
There's nothing in his over his career that was a weakness. Nothing.
Really? No. The only weaknesses he ever had were his team around him.
Yeah.
Remember,
but as a quarterback, there's no weakness.
The only time he ever had a defense, they won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron had it on display, but you know, I'll switch over to the Ravens side for a second. Lamar was really good
in
that fourth quarter.
Lamar's great in the fourth, and I mean, Derrick Henry was great all game too.
And it kind of made me wonder, and this is probably where the Harbaugh stuff comes into play. I don't understand, and maybe they just lost because the missed field goal and, you know, who had the ball last kind of thing, and Aaron did Aaron things.
But and the defense. I mean, the defense for the Ravens is just
kind of cheeks in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I thought Derrick Henry obviously was phenomenal, opened the game, and it was like, uh-oh. If you're a Steelers fan, I think you were dribbling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a little scared
you
there.
You see Derrick Henry break loose, you're like,
that early in the game, you're like, oh, this is going to be a long day.
It reminded me of, was it game one this year where he went absolutely bonkers? It was like, oh, yeah, remember that game? Was that game two, Bills Ravens?
I think it's game two.
Yeah.
No, I think it's week one.
It was week one where he just went nuts.
And it was like 45, 43,
yeah,
something like that.
and it was very much the same. He got loose early, and it was like, prepare for this. Enjoy.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where the criticism of Harbaugh and that staff come into play. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the first time for me. Look, missing a field goal, we'll get into some fun Tomlin audio here in a second. Missing a field goal, you can't predict it. Okay, no. Lamar and that team put themselves in a position to win that game.
Did you see the looks on everybody's faces for the Steelers? Did he just miss that?
Did you see the looks on the Ravens? Like, Lamar is ready to jump up and down, mm-hmm. and he just stops and stares at the center of the field.
I thought Derrick Henry was really good in the postgame.
I thought he was, too. You can't blame a team for a kid missing a kick. No. You can't. Well, however, what was working in the fourth quarter, and I know hindsight's 20-30, but, like, what are we doing? Like, how is this not the game plan? Lamar is 11 of 18 mm-hmm. with four rushes. Like, that's it?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he's limited.
I understand, but if Lamar is going to ball out to do everything you can, your season mm-hmm. is on the line. His reputation. Now, we sat here and said it is some bullshit about people shagging on Lamar Jackson mm-hmm. right now. But I'll tell you what, if I'm Lamar with that kind of gift,
found Zay Flowers.
I am going to ball out like no one's business. Mm-hmm. And if I break my leg and die and it's the backup plane in round one of the playoffs, then so be it.
But I'll say this.
I will Mac Jones this bitch.
I think Lamar was very much aware, which is why he didn't take off.
Yeah.
Maybe
pack it in and we'll get better next year.
Not even just that, but just like aware of his body.
Yeah.
Like he's been beat up all year and like, I think there's probably an understanding, both quarterback, coach, and team, of like, hey, you know, Lamar's limited. He's been limited all year with lower body injury after lower body injury after lower body injury.
He got sacked three times, too. That ain't going to help.
So, yeah, I look at that and I go, yeah, Lamar should have done this. I'm like, he only threw the ball 18 times. He only ran the ball four times. Now, he was incredibly productive with his arm, you know. Had a couple of drops and missed a couple of throws, but other than that, he was phenomenal.
Throw a pick.
But beyond that, do you want to go with Snoop?
No. I mean, I like Snoop a lot as a backup.
Sure.
But not if my season's on the line.
And that's the thing, is like, you got 75% of what Lamar is, maybe?
And throw this over to Aaron, for example, 31 of 47, 294 yards.
You let the thing go all game long.
One, he's basically game managing. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I thought Collinsworth nailed this on the post game. I'm not the biggest Collinsworth guy, but I think he nailed this. The happiest person with that Steelers win is DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. Because if Rodgers and that offense were able to accomplish what they did. Now, there's a lot of question marks with the Ravens defense for sure. But they were able to accomplish that without a guy that can stretch that defense, mm-hmm. stretch that secondary. Because let's not lie here. Austin, Thielen, Gainwell, these guys are not really pressing.
No. I mean, Freiermuth's a dude, but...
But the rest of that squad is not really pressing a secondary. And Rodgers was able to make that work.
And he spread the ball around, though. My goodness. I mean...
Well, I think he had to. And that's what you're talking about. That brain of Rodgers has to continue firing. Yeah. Has to confuse that defense, spread the ball around. Otherwise, you're going to become predictable. And I'll bet you, on tape, the Ravens walked in there saying... He's going to be predictable because mm-hmm. he has to be, because his options are so limited. And Aaron just said, F you, hold my beer. Mike Tomlin, after the game on Ravens kicking that field goal, which they ultimately missed.
Make that kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle. All right.
PR in the background. All right, we're going to end on that one.
I'm not quite sure I know what that means. I think I do.
You know what it means.
I think I do. Tomlin, I'll tell you what. For that guy at times throughout the year, I mean, he looks like sometimes when they lose, like he's going to cry mm-hmm. these last couple years. I think because he knows what's at stake. He knows the pressure is there on his job. But boy, when he beats the Ravens, it's not just the kiss anymore. It's just that is one salty, happy MF-er right there.
That was the old, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, you know, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Kudos to Tomlin. Are they going to win a playoff game? I don't know about that. You know,
Tomlin goes 10-7, and here we go again.
Here we go again. I mean, all they needed was competent quarterback play post Roethlisberger.
A buddy of mine, was at the gym this morning. He's a big Steelers fan. He texted me last night. He's like, did you watch that game? I was like, oh, I was paying attention to it. You know, how you doing, bud? He goes, I don't know. I talked to him again at the gym this morning. And I'm like, how you feeling today? He goes, don't know. Still kind of can't believe that. And I'm sure lowercase is thrilled, not only just going to the playoffs. But
God, I would have paid money to watch that game with him last
night. Yeah, I mean, but you...
No, I'd have bought him drinks at the bar.
But it's not even just the winning the game. It's beating the Ravens. I know. It's to do it.
God, it feels so good. You know, it's something the NFL has a lot of, but when you see Steelers-Ravens, it has college vibes to mm-hmm. it. It really does. I had a friend show me a video. She went to a Steelers-Falcons game because she was, like, in town on business, and one of the vendors they work for had some free tickets. Do you guys want to go to the game? She was like, hell yeah, I want to go to the game. Walked in with her Falcons hat on, mm-hmm. into the tunnel with Steelers fans, and, like, 10 seconds in, just took the hat off,
nope.
pushed that in her pocket, and was like, I'm just here, because she said it felt very college. And she's a Bama kid.
Mm.
So it's like...
So she knows.
She knows. And to have that sort of vibe and to go... To book your ticket in the playoffs, knowing you just beat your enemies, got to feel mm-hmm. great. Steelers defeat the Ravens 26-24 to lock up the AFC North for the first time in what, like 5 years for Tomlin? Something like that. We'll talk about them throughout the week. I think we have them slated for tomorrow and how they got here and what their aspirations look like. But a hell of a win. A hell of a win. And Saturday gave us another one as well. The number one seed in the NFC looks pretty damn good. We'll go Seahawks next. There's Rusty with sports. Coming up here on The Firm of Harrison Morang, we'll touch in on the NFL playoffs, give you the breakdown, tell you the matchups and all that kind of stuff leading up to Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of the NFL. So that'll be fun. Like I said, we'll spend some of the day today taking a peek at, we'll actually spend the whole week taking a peek at all the teams in the playoffs, kind of give you an idea of how they got here, whether it's free agents, coaching hires, schedule, etc., looking at you, New England Patriots. But let's lock in right now with the number one seed in the NFC after a dominating, fair to say, dominating performance on Saturday night as the Seahawks took down the San Francisco 49ers 13-3, securing home field advantage all the way up to Super Bowl, which actually will be in the stadium in which they pounced the 49ers. Danny, I'm curious, when we look at this, okay, when you look at, say, Sam Darnold's numbers, they're not super impressive by any means, but we had a lot of questions about Sam going into this game. Do you feel differently about Sam after this game? Or do we just realize this is a full team effort and maybe the Niners aren't as good as we thought they were? Like, where do you land on this?
I think the Niners are better than, and certainly I give them credit for. But beyond that, Sam did the thing. Were his stats incredible? No.
20 of 26, 198 yards, no tuds, 2 sacks. No picks.
But no picks. He didn't do the thing.
He didn't.
But I also...
There were no ghosts.
Did you think he played scared?
No.
Because I didn't.
I didn't think so at all. And I think some of that, it's so weird because he played scared with a guy like Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. but he takes a look at JSN and he's more comfortable. That's a wild thought. JSN's great. Don't want to take away from that. In fact, statistically, he's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. But it's wild to think he's so much more comfortable with him than he was with Jefferson in these big moments.
What's nice is that on Saturday night, we did not get the full Sam Darnold experience.
Mm-hmm. True.
And this was the thing that we've talked about throughout the season with the Seahawks and with Darnold. He has not been in high pressure, high variance situations all that much in his career.
No, he hasn't.
He played for a dog-ass Jets team.
Before last year in Minnesota, the last time he was in a good position in a high leverage game was USC.
Yes.
That's it.
Like, and he had some big moments down there.
Sure, he had some clunkers too, but he had big moments.
And that's the thing. I don't want to bury him in the sense of like, oh my God, he saw ghosts again in Minnesota. It's like, well, he's really only had 3 games
in his entire career, where
in the NFL, where you're like, yeah, no, it's on you. You learn through them, and that's what I think. That's what I think you saw from him. Number one, credit to the Seahawks staff because this year, they've wanted this identity of, you know, being more balanced and being better running the ball. But their offensive line just really wasn't up to the task of running the ball that efficiently or that effectively. Over the last month or so, they've been hitting the ground running hard. I mean,
without a doubt.
Charbonnet and Walker were great.
It's a two-headed monster right now. I mean, I think everybody knows when I talk to Seahawk fans, Charbonnet is like the player that fans really love. Mm-hmm. But if you take yourself away from fandom, you're kind of like, yeah, he's okay. It's like that second or third receiver that everybody loves on their football
team. It's the backup quarterback.
It's the backup quarterback syndrome. Exactly. However, to your point that you're making right now, Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet, Charbonnet's been better than him of late. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker had a great game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Don't want to take away from him. Like, good runs, good vision, etc. But Charbonnet, he's been kind of the guy, and he's, in a sense, number two there.
It's not this. This isn't thunder and lightning, but no. Their running styles are dissimilar enough that it is a balanced running attack that kind of keeps you guessing. And that's I have tried to figure out Seattle all year, and I haven't been able to like really pin them down. Other than they're just really good. That defense, like we talk about, we give the love to the Texans endlessly because they deserve it. They're the best defense in football. It's not close.
And wait till we start picking the Super Bowl here in a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I got nice things to say about Houston.
Yeah. I don't want to play them.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But this might be the second best defense in football.
And I'm going to throw some stats at you that might rock your world here, okay? The Seahawks have gone 25 straight games without allowing an opponent 100-plus yard rushing. 25 straight games. Mike McDonald and the Seahawks are 15-2 on the road in the past two seasons. You know what that tells me? Defense travels. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shout out Luke Anderson. I'm sure he's just tickled somewhere. The Seattle Seahawks also, here's another fun stat with them as being the number one overall seed. They have been the number one overall seed four times in their history. Mm-hmm. Okay. This being the fourth time. The previous three times, they have gone to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
see, now here's the thing, too, is that so coming into the season, everybody saw the Sam Darnold acquisition as kind of like a parallel move from Geno Smith.
Sure.
It was the same mm-hmm. kind of like an identical deal.
People were worried that Sam wasn't really an upgrade
placeholder. Right. Exactly. Even after the 14 win season in Minnesota last year, when again, at the end in the playoffs, we got the full Sam Darnold experience.
I feel like they're week three. They were like Jade Milrow, maybe right. better than Darnold.
So nobody saw the Seahawks doing this with Sam Darnold.
Nope.
And I feel like, though, that do we still have that little place down in our plums where we're not quite sure where we trust Sam Darnold about as much as we trusted Geno Smith?
I think this team here, this crew here, the three of us, I think we are more in on Sam Darnold than most are. Still think that narrative exists.
Here, I'll throw some out here. I trust Sam Darnold more than I trust Drake May.
Sure, I'm in. I trust Sam Darnold more than I do Bo Nix. I mean, which quarterbacks in the playoffs do you trust more than Sam Darnold? I mean, obviously, there's some Matt Staffords in the world. Right now, would you rather have Sam Darnold or Jalen Hurts? See what I mean? Do you trust, not who's better, do you trust Sam over Caleb?
I think we still have to take into account the units around them, though, too.
For sure.
So like with Bo and Denver and the defense there and what they do.
Totally, but I'm talking about trust a quarterback to be good. Caleb's upside is astronomically higher. And I know I'm a Caleb hater, and I fully understand that. But in terms of trust,
sure,
I think I trust Sam more than Caleb.
I think I do, too.
Jordan Love?
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud?
He's 1-1, so I'll give C.J. CJ's probably like the splitting line. I trust Lawrence more.
I do too. I trust Stafford more.
Lawrence more, Stafford more, Josh Allen more.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Rodgers.
As much as a Jags fan as I am, I'm not sure that I still trust Trevor Lawrence.
I love
more.
That we've all finally come around to Trevor Lawrence, except for Jags fans.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I don't think anybody's playing quarterback better in the NFL right now than Trevor Lawrence.
He's tremendous.
The last 6 weeks, he's been an absolute monster.
Mm-hmm. The final thing to cap on this Seahawk thing, just to kind of put some stuff into perspective, I saw this on Saturday, or yesterday before the Rams Cardinals game. So this is a little hindsight here.
A game that I didn't watch a second of.
No. I saw a highlight on Red Zone and I was like, thank God I'm not wasting my life. Barring a 36-point blowout from the Rams today, being yesterday against the Cardinals, the Seahawks finished the regular season with an NFL best point differential of 191+. Their three losses came from a combined total of 9 points. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this. Sam had a 4-interception game against the Rams. They lost on a game-winning field goal. Okay? He threw 2 picks last time they played the Rams. And I'm going to tell you, they looked a lot better than the Rams mm-hmm. did that game. You got a quarterback that kind of plays sometimes and you're still winning, life's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Duck fans would wish it could be that way a little bit with Dante,
mm-hmm.
especially going to this Indiana game. Side note, Dante's got to play flawless.
Just play consistent. Don't make mistakes.
Different sports, college and NFL for sure. But Sam Darnold can make a few mistakes and this team gets out of it. And that makes you a very, very scary team.
I mean, the thing I take away from this game is, did you hear Christian McCaffrey's name?
No. McCaffrey played bad. Purdy was not good. Kittle was MIA.
Again, this final score of this game was 13-3.
Juwan Jennings loved to run his mouth, but he wasn't, you know, I was out there catching babies mm-hmm. unlike Juwan Jennings, you know, some of that Aguilar action.
Yeah, stuff. But I mean, it's 13-3 is not indicative of the score.
No, I think Seattle, if anything, pulled up on offense and just kind of were like,
let's salt this thing away.
It's a little bit Texas techie
mm-hmm.
of like, I don't need the offense to be great today. There's no way they're in this game. Seahawks are going to be a tough one to watch or a tough one to play. They'll be fun to watch.
I'll tell you what, who they're thrilled to have back? Eamon Worry.
Without a doubt.
Just an absolute dude.
They're healthy. They got a bye. Life's in a good spot if you're the Seattle Seahawks. Let's take a look at the NFL playoff picture around as it's finally set after some wild games this weekend. We'll get to that next. Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. Gardner Minshew's favorite band is Silverchair. That's a fact.
It's believable.
That's a fact. Well, buckle up, friends. We got the NFL playoffs here on the horizon on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. God bless the NFL.
Sunday.
Stretching that out for three days.
We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Yes.
We have a playoffs with no Patty Mahomes. We got a playoff with no Lamar.
Hey, Chiefs fans, how are you feeling after that last game?
Woof. Hurt me in my spread, too, or in my pick'em leagues.
You took
the Raiders?
No. I took the Chiefs. So in my pick'em league, I was tied for second going into the week. And I think the winner gets 500. And I'm winning 50.
Okay.
But I had my worst week of the season. I went 1-4 because I lost the Chiefs game, got me. And then I lost on 3 half-point spreads. The hook got me on every single one of them. And I was livid.
No Patrick Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Joe Burrow, no Jared Goff, no Baker Mayfield. Who else are we missing? I think that's kind of it, right? No Philip Rivers. It's a wild playoff. You know, it's almost similar. I know they're different sports, and I don't mean to compare them, but that's kind of the world we're living in right now. It's similar to college football.
It's wide open, baby.
It's wide open, and anybody that doesn't think that's a great thing for the sport is smoking crack.
I'll tell you right now, it's happening in the NBA. Everybody was talking about the Thunder. Thunder dropping some games.
Spurs.
That whole 74-75 win thing is
kind of by the wayside.
It's going up in smoke pretty quick.
Yeah, and the Celtics can't do anything because they don't have Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. Well, hello. Let me introduce you to Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to be an Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Oh, and an NBA Finals MVP. But Tatum's the guy.
But
there.
It's wide open across the board.
Across the board, it's fantastic.
Meanwhile,
and I think
Dodgers.
I think the NFL is doing a great job. Walk you through. The Steelers will take on the Texans. That will be on. That's the Monday night game. Monday night game. Sunday, you will get Jags and Bills in the AFC.
I feel like that sucks.
I think that's the game of the week.
Well, let me say, why is that a first-round matchup? Yeah,
because the Bills went doo-doo all over
I know. I would rather see, I guess you can't have Bills-Patriots either. You could. But no, you know what I mean, like in the first round. Like, I would rather see the next round feature the Texans-Jags-Bills- Patriots. You know what I mean? Like,
I might swap out Chargers for Patriots just for funsies.
I'm talking about, like, who's been the best teams this year.
Sure.
Like, that's
sure.
Like seeding wise, like, that's Broncos go to hell. throwing them in the wayside.
You Raider fans, never forget.
Yeah, damn right. But, like, those are the four teams that I have the most rooting interest in seeing play.
Yeah, in like, the AFC.
Yeah.
Your other Saturday, or your other Sunday game, excuse me, is Patriots and Chargers. Patriots will be hosting the Chargers. Flip over to the NFC. Seahawks with the bye. Sorry, Broncos with the bye in the AFC. Seahawks with the bye in the NFC. Then you get on Saturday, Panthers-Rams, a repeat of a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that the Panthers won.
They won it.
But I feel like that's going to be a bloodletting the other way.
Also on Sunday, you will get Eagles and Niners. You want to talk about spin a chamber and flip a coin? There you go. There's that game.
I hate that game.
And then a division rivalry between the Bears and the Packers on Saturday as well. See, that's the game I hate.
Oh, really?
I hate that game.
Because those games have been good.
Oh, I know. I just, I don't love what I saw from Chicago yesterday. And I really don't love what I've seen from the Packers for the last 18 weeks. I don't know what to say.
It's been a while.
They are a very polarizing, schizophrenic team this year. The NFC, I feel like, has so much less juice than the AFC.
Yeah, when it comes to Bears-Packers, it's just literally,
I don't care. I mean, I care because I think there's a lot.
Of course you do.
Well, I mean,
see it twice a year, and it's like, okay, great, here we go. Here's volume three. And
how often
do we really think that either one of these teams is going to make it, like, to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl?
Look,
I picked the Packers to win the whole thing.
The comparison that I've made through the Bears pretty much all year has been, they're doing the Commander thing from last year.
They are. They've won a lot of close games. They've, you know, Caleb has played phenomenal.
If you put the Bears in the NFC title game, I'm not surprised.
I have a lot at stake in this game just from a personal standpoint. I was very, 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 very wrong about Lamar Jackson, and I do not want to be very, 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 very wrong about Caleb Williams, because then that will just hurt my ego. But also, I've been high on Jordan Love, and that's kind of bit me in the ass a little bit this year.
I'll tell you right now, Ben Johnson higher?
Slam dunk.
Pretty good.
Yeah, better hire Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen. Tough to say. They've both been fantastic. They've both been fantastic. If you look at this with the way it shakes out, you know, let's not pick games, but just how do you see it all play out, Danny? If I had to ask you for a Super Bowl pick right now, what do you like?
Is anybody playing better in the AFC right now than the Jags?
I don't think so. Completely? No. Because the Broncos defense is still quite nice. We waxed about Aaron being smart on the offensive side. We love that Texans defense. This is Josh's best path if he's going to win a Super Bowl, but this team is not one of the better Josh teams.
Nope.
Patriots, unproven. Chargers dead. And you and me are strapping up on the left side of that O-line.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what's going on here.
I will say, though, even as a Jags guy, that first round matchup against
the Bengals, it's brutal.
It's brutal.
Terrifying.
That's what I mean. Like, you played this well, you've been this good.
Yes.
And you get Josh Allen.
The Bills.
It's like, yeah. That's tough. I'm going to do it, though. I'll take the Jags.
You're going to take the Jags. I'm going to take the Texans out of the AFC. I think I've seen enough from C.J. Stroud to not screw this thing up defense.
Jags-Texans.
Oh,
AFC title game.
Oh, baby. Oh. Which is hilarious because the AFC South has been a laughing stock for years. Basically, since Luck and Manning were gone. Yeah. That division has been cheeks for sure. You'll take the Jags coming out of the AFC. I love that.
Who's playing better? We always talk about this, like, who's been the best team, all these kind of things. Who's playing better in the NFL than the Jacksonville Jaguars over the last month?
Maybe the Seattle Seahawks. And I said maybe.
Yeah, and guess what? They're in separate conferences.
You look at that playoff bracket, though, on the AFC side, and it's a
gauntlet.
No matter.
There's no easy path. No.
I love that you take the Jags more from a, like, it's also a fun, just like a fun pick, but it's also a smart pick.
But it's also, it's like,
I wonder what your odds are, Jags Super Bowl right now.
Probably, I mean, seven teams, so plus. They're definitely going to be further down the board. But
plus 300?
Here's the thing, though, like, Trevor Lawrence was him.
Yeah.
What if he's just now figuring out he's him?
Yeah, we'll get to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the big nooner talking about how they got here, and Trevor Lawrence is a big part of that. In the NFC, who do you like?
Again, this one's a no-brainer for me. It's Seattle.
I think for me, too. My Super Bowl pick right now is Seattle, Houston. Give me the Seahawks winning in decent fashion.
For me, it's one of Seattle or the Rams.
I do think the Rams can still come by.
And I hate that matchup is round two. Like,
not necessarily. They reseed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They received. Seattle will play the lowest seed. So right now, You know, the Niners can beat the Eagles. 100% they can. With what I've seen from the Eagles, I mean, I would say outside of the Panthers, who we will get to in the next hour, I mean, the Eagles to me seem like the most flawed team on the NFC side, not counting the Panthers.
Okay. It was like,
we all know it's the Panthers, but get rid of that rhetoric for a second. The Eagles are the scariest team if I'm a fan of not playing well.
Can we take a moment here and just RIP for Baker? Had it sit there and waited home for the
poor guy
Falcons to win.
I think it's going to be one of the NFC West teams coming out of the NFC.
And I think the NFC Championship will be between two NFC West teams.
Yeah.
Because there's three of them.
Seahawks,
three of them.
Rams, Niners. Yeah. I mean, something. Yes, odds are. Something. But yes, but I think it. But
even
but
if
I
it's Rams.
But I think those are also your three best teams on the NFC side.
I think so, too. That if you didn't have divisions, your seeds would be 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Seahawks 1, Rams 2, Niners 3, and then blah, blah.
Then after that,
no, thank you. All right, we come back. Let's stick in the NFL. Let's take our first team that we're going to look at, how they got here, what makes them good, their aspirations, and what their potential futures look like, maybe even beyond this season. We'll start in Carolina. This is Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.